On December 11th, 1931, Dolores Catherine Stone, along with her twin brother Andrew Stone, were born into this world in Diodate, Pennsylvania. They doubled the number of children in the home, adding to brother Brad, 12 years older, and sister Eileen, 14 years older. On September 9th, 2025, she passed from this mortal life to go to her eternal home. On May 19th, 1952, she married Charlie Adams. The date was on Charlie's 20th birthday, which made it convenient for Charlie to always remember their anniversary date. Her life. Mrs. Adams was an avid knitter, creating beautiful wool sweaters with Alaskan designs. She knitted hats, mittens, and scarves, many of which were donated to the elementary school. She also knitted dozens of socks for premature babies in the NICU of the local hospitals. Some of the highlights she was remembered for were catching a large salmon while on a fishing trip with Charlie Jr., Kathy, and the boys. She also showed up many of the men in the area when on her way home from work in the fall of the year, she took down the rifle from the car's gun rack and shot a moose. Not only did she love to knit, but she also painted some very beautiful pictures. Her salvation. On February 11th, 1958, an event took place that God would later use to draw her to salvation. A fire broke out in the Adams family home. Her two-year-old son, Byron, was trapped inside. Dolores broke away from the men holding her back and ran into the burning structure, rescuing Byron. She received burns over 86% of her body. Later on, when God began to draw her to himself with the word of God, it wasn't hard for her to grasp the seriousness of her sin and the reality of God's wrath abiding over the unrepentant sinner. She memorized large portions of Scripture, finding comfort in the Word of God. She also loved Plaque Road Baptist Church and her family here. Mrs. Adams was preceded in death by Anna Lisa Garrison, Charles Adams Jr., Charles Adams Sr. She is survived by Veronica Adams Garrison and her husband Barry, Catherine Adams, Byron Adams and his wife Barbara, Kathy Adams, daughter-in-law, who became like one of her own children, along with 11 grandchildren and 12 great-grandchildren. Mrs. Adams was a faithful, faithful lady. She loved the Lord. She loved this church. One of her favorite songs to sing was "Be Thou My Vision." We're all going to stand together and we're going to sing this song in honor of Mrs. Adams. So would you stand together with me, please? And our song leader, the words are in the back of your hymnal there, or your bulletin, or up on the wall. You sing along with us, all right?
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence, my life. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine. now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joy, so bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
You may be seated.
Good evening. As most of you know, I'm Pastor Humphrey. I came here to pastor Plaquemine Baptist Church in June of 1984. And it was a number of months, but not too many months after being here, that I learned that Charlie and Dolores Adams had once been a member of a church started by Gene C., and we're not now going to church. So I went to call upon them to encourage them to church attendance. And only Sister Adams was home, and I was met with somewhat of a cool reception. I think it was likely due to a negative experience with a former pastor. However, it wasn't long that her and Charlie begin to attend here and then join Black Rock Baptist Church. They together, and then later only with Sister Adams, were a great blessing to my family and Susie and I for 41 years. I want to mention two things that were a blessing from her. There was a time when both of us, Susie and I, were emotionally lower than a snake belly and a wagon rut. Very discouraged. In her care for us, she said something along these lines: "Jean, these things are just part of life. It will pass, and you will be stronger for it." And she was right. Then came a time when Sister Adams could no longer comfortably drive at night in the winter, and so Susie and I would go pick her up at Byron's house on Wednesday night services. That probably took maybe 5 to 10 minutes coming and going, but it became one of the highlights of our week. Sometimes we would encourage her, but more often she encouraged us. She truly was a breath of fresh air to our souls. When she moved, we missed her. We missed her greatly. Sister Adams was not about beating around the bush. She would get to the point. And I want to emulate that in being brief and getting to the point tonight. Many of you knew her as a relative and a friend, but I knew her on a far different level. I knew her as a child of God, a sister to me and God's family. I pastored her. And in light of that, I'm going to talk to you about two things. First, I'm going to talk to you about what God wants you to know about Sister Adams. And then I'm going to talk to you about what God desires you to know about God, what she would desire you to know about God. What God wants you to know tonight about Dolores Adams. In John chapter 14, Job chapter 14 and verse 14, there's a real telling question asked. If a man die, shall he live again? And the resounding answer to that is yes, yes indeed. The Bible tells us that God fashioned man out of the dust of the ground and breathed in him the breath of life, and man became a living soul, a body and soul. From the ground, the body, and from the breath of God, a soul. Later in Ecclesiastes, we read that when man dies, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. There's a part of man that continues on. And then in another place in the Bible, it instructs us, it's appointed unto men or man once to die, and after that, the judgment. At that judgment, in the response to the lordship of Christ in their lives, whether they were repented of their sins, God will assign each to a place of blessing or a place of punishment. And so we all go back to God in our spirits, and later on, bodies will come about. It'll either be in heaven or in hell. At her last breath, Sister Adams went to heaven. Jesus, remember, while on the cross, spoke to the repentant sinner, today, right now, today, thou wilt be with me in paradise. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said to them, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, speaking of those that were children of God there in Corinth. Paul was going through a rough time in his life, and in the book of Philippians, he relates that, and he says, for I'm a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Jesus Christ himself encouraged us in this thing about life after death, and he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. I'm sure there was great excitement in the Stone family in Deer Date, Pennsylvania. I guess we're pronouncing that right. Deer Date, Pennsylvania, on December 11th, 1931, when Dolores and her twin brother, Andrew, were born. And we have learned from Dolores's brief history in the obituary that there were times of hardness and there were times of joy. I can hear her bragging about the size of that fish. And no doubt she poked a few men in the ribs about killing a moose. And Solomon would agree with us that we ought to live life to the fullest, that there's nothing better than to enjoy life in this life. But Solomon also said a very strange saying in a sense because of our way of thinking. Solomon said the day of death is better than the day of one's birth. Let me say to you, on the authority of God's word, that on September 8th, 2025, she was carried by the angels to the Father's house, a place where all tears are wiped away. A land where we never grow old. And she just began to live. Now, what Sister Adams would desire you to know about God. You may seem that I'm very presumptuous about claiming to know what Sister Adams would have you to know. But again, on a different plane than just family and friend, I was her pastor. And I got a glimpse from time to time of what was upon her heart. Many times, she requested prayer for some of you. Her desire being that you would see the seriousness of sin and come to know her Savior as she knew him. And the Bible also helps me to not be presumptuous in that in the few accounts, and there are few accounts, but there are much written about the future life, but a few accounts of people expressing themselves after they've gone on. But in the accounts that we do have, their greatest concern was not about the view, but their greatest concern was that their loved ones and people that they cared for would prepare for eternity. And the verse behind me, I think, would express very well the heart that was shared with me on numerous occasions for friends and family and others. This account comes out of the book of Hebrews, and Hebrews was, in this passage here, Hebrews is telling us that the Old Testament sacrifices and the things that were going on with the feast days were only types of what Christ was going to come and fulfill. That those sacrifices and those feast days had nothing to do with making your life fit for heaven. But now that Christ has come, He says, wherefore, he is able, Christ, also to save them to the uttermost, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession. First of all, I point out to you, it says, wherefore, he is able also to save. We need saved because we all sin and come short of the glory of God. God is perfectly holy and just. Because who he is, he cannot let sin and rebellion go unpunished. We need saved because we cannot save ourselves. Because we've all fallen short. We need saved because his wrath is abiding over the lost man. And only his long suffering keeps it from falling upon us quickly. I cannot save myself. No man can save me. My religion cannot save me. My reforming my life by turning over a new leaf will not save me. But I point you to these wonderful words. He is able to save. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. You may think that your sin is too great, that there's no hope for you, but God can save. Secondly, I'd have you to note that wherefore he's able also to save them to the uttermost that come. Salvation is not automatic. You have to come to Jesus Christ. You have to will in your heart to turn and go. That old invitational hymn that was sung long ago, more than probably now, but it's still sung today. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. We have to be like the prodigal son who found himself at the bottom of the barrel. He had run from God. And he said, I will arise and go to the Father. She would have me to tell you, although she lived a long life, there's no guarantee of tomorrow. I come. I'm going to decide to come. The salvation, as I said, is not automatic, but we must come to him by faith. And God warns us very clearly about not coming. He says, search the scriptures. Don't just take my word for it. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. That if you do these things and these things and these things, you'll have eternal life. And they which testify, he said, but you need to look at those that testify of me. And he says, you will not come to me that you might have life. And so the encouragement is that we come. He is able to save those that come. And then I'd have you note another very important two words. Wherefore is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, by Jesus Christ. Have you ever wondered why people at the end of a prayer will say in Jesus' name, amen? Because I have no right to even be in the presence of God on my own. I have no merit with God on my own. But when I pour out my heart to God, I say, God, you need to answer this because I'm special stuff. No, I'm not special stuff. But Lord, I'm coming to you in the name of the one who is special stuff, who's the most important, the one who has access to you. And we must come by him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life again. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. He did not say, I am a way, as one of many ways, but he says, I am the way. No one, regardless of their reputation or their achievement or their spatial knowledge or personal holiness, can come to God the Father except through Jesus Christ. He's the only way because he's God. He's the only way because no sinful man can enter into heaven, but Jesus was not sinful. He's the only way because his sacrifice for sin was the only eternal sacrifice once and for all. He made very plain. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And so go in and out and find pasture. And then a very remarkable word. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. That not only talks about the extent of sin, that there's no sinner in this world today who has sinned so much that they can never be forgiven, never have the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed. He saves to the uttermost. Most of the time we don't have that problem. Most of the time we would think that we're a pretty good person. But the Bible declares we're not good people. But I'm here to tell you tonight that he can save to the uttermost. The depths of sin and the lives that can be changed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's again consider salvation. We're saved from hell. We're saved from the wrath of God against sin. The word speaks of some kind of danger that we need to be rescued from. The terrible consequences of sin, which leaves us broken and empty and guilty and not at peace, but only a turmoil. And so he saves us from the latest, least, the smallest to the greatest. But when he says the uttermost, it's also a measure of time. Forever. I saw a movie, I remember this long years ago, a black and white movie on the television, and there's some gladiator or some warrior in the Romans, and they ask him this question. If he asked all these questions and he answered them right, they were going to promote him somehow. And they ask him, how long is eternity? And he said, always one day longer than you can imagine. It's a land where you never grow old. And then he says, wherefore he's able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The question is often asked or thought about, what happens after someone who's trusted Christ as their Savior and genuinely and sincerely have been born again? What happens when they sin? Mrs. Adams wasn't perfect. And you aren't either. In an unguarded moment, I can commit sin and have. Satan can come to the throne of God and say, did you notice Humphrey today? Did you see him cursing? Do you see him being angry without a cause? And immediately my lawyer, my advocate, the one who makes intercession, appears at the throne of God. And he says, yes, Humphrey sinned. And yes, it was ugly. And yes, it was wrong. And sometimes I need to discipline him. But in 1963, he trusted me as his Lord and Savior, and that sin is under the blood. I believe the thing that weighs upon the minds of those who have gone on is that we each would prepare for eternity. He's able to save you. Have you come to him? I lay before your heart's door. Why not? Because I just don't know how to do it. Well, you don't come by how you do it. You come by him. You throw yourself upon him. You trust in him. And so I encourage you to do business with God concerning your eternal destiny. Because here's the deal tonight. This is not Mrs. Adams' memorial. She's not here to listen. But it could be the last funeral memorial you attend. And so this is your memorial. what you're going to do with it.
I heard some of you voicing agreement with the word amen and all of that. And it reminded me of Mrs. Adams. I had the joy of pastoring her for a handful of years before she needed to move. But Mrs. Adams, she sat right back here along the side, kind of where about Leah is or so. And we marked that the amen corner because Mrs. Adams was always so encouraging. When she would agree with something from the Word of God, she'd be, amen. And I would think that if Mrs. Adams was listening, she'd be saying amen to all of that. What she wants you to know about God, that would be her message too. And this is not a sad day for us because we know she's with the Lord. Death is not a sad thing for those who know the Lord. The Bible says we don't sorrow as others who have no hope because we know where she is. And the Bible tells us, and I think the thought came to my mind how precious Mrs. Adams was. Sweet spirit, always encouraging. But Psalm 116 and verse 15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. God sees things in a dimension that we usually do not. And in this world, death is a profound negative. But when a child of God leaves this life to enter the courts of glory, the Bible says it's precious in the sight of God. That word precious, it means of great value. It's great value in the eyes of God because to God it means rest for that saint. Life's journeys and trials are over. To God, it means communion. This one that he gave his life for, that he shed his blood for, is now safely at home with him. To God, it means joy because forever in the presence of the Lord, where our great salvation finds its ultimate fulfillment. Aren't you looking forward to that day? To be in the presence of the Lord. That's where Mrs. Adams is. And we rejoice in that tonight, and we give God the glory for the great things that he has done. I'm so glad that you have come tonight. One of Mrs. Adams' other favorite songs is How Great Thou Art. And it would be a joy for us to be able to sing that together as we dismiss this service. Why don't you all stand with me again? We're going to have our piano player, song leader come. We're going to sing How Great Thou Art together. After we're done singing, we're going to dismiss, and there's going to be a reception following over next door in our fellowship hall, and everybody's invited to come. And I think it's appropriate and a good idea for you, if you knew Mrs. Adams and you had stories about Mrs. Adams or memories of Mrs. Adams, it would be a great idea for you to share some of those with the family and let them know what a blessing she was in your life or some story that might be a joy for them to hear. Share some sweet memories of dear Mrs. Adams with the family and with each other, and we'll enjoy some food together as well. And so we're going to sing How Great Thou Art. Then you are dismissed and we can work our way over to our fellowship hall for the reception. Also tonight, I just want to make this announcement. We need to have choir practice as well. We're getting ready for our conference, so choir, please stick around. All right, let's sing together. Then you're dismissed.
Number 2 in the hymnal, How Great Thou Art.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, Savior God, unto thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the wood and forest glades I wander, and hear the bird sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Thank you. You are dismissed.